Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos on Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin with the last word on the second line at the top of the Amud, Ella. We're in the middle of the sugya of a chalitza of a muberes, which began on Daf Lamed Hamed Beis, where the Gemara began right after the Mishnah, Hacholetz Lemuberes V'Pilo. If someone made chalitza on a muberes, a woman who was pregnant, and then she was mapel, she had a stillborn child or a non-viable child. The question now is, the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is, do the brothers have to give her a new chalitza or not? Was the chalitza which was done at the time of the suffix, where we don't know whether this will be a viable child or not, was that an effective chalitza? If it turns out that it was a v'lachol kayama, then there's no mitzvah of yibum. In fact, there's an avera of eshesach, shaloi b'makom mitzvah. If it turns out that there will be a non-viable child, then there is a mitzvah of yibum and chalitza. So Rabbi Yochanan says that in this situation, ein etzricha chalitza menachin. It's not required to make another chalitza because chalitzas muberes is a good chalitza. Resh Lakish, on the other hand, holds either because of a svara or from a pasuk, the Gemara learned it out from, that no, if you are mesupik at the time that you make either yibum or chalitza, whether this is an effective yibum or chalitza, the Torah says that that's not considered a viable yibum and chalitza, and therefore later when there's a stillborn child born, and now retroactively you realize that there was a mitzvah of yibum at that time, the chalitza you did doesn't help, and you have to make, the brothers will have to make a new chalitza according to Rish Lakish. The Gemara had asked a very strong question on Rabbi Yochanan at the end of the Amud, around 10 lines from the bottom of Lamed Hamed Beis. Meisvei, the Gemara had asked the question, we have learned that if someone was Konas his Yevama, and she was found to be Muberes, so the Tzora is not allowed to get married. Why? Because maybe the Vlad will turn out to be a Ben Kayama. She's not allowed to get married while the other wife is a Muberes, because maybe it'll be a Vlad Shakayama. And the Gemara immediately asks, Adarabba, if it turns out to be a Vlad Shakayama, then there was no mitzvah of Yibam. And then she's Mutter Lashuk. What are you telling me that she should wait to get married to the Shuk, because maybe there'll be a Vlad Kayama? Adarabba. So the Gemara says, you're right, you have to change it. Shema Loyeh Vlad Ben Kayama. Maybe it'll turn out that there was no viable child, so there was a mitzvah of Yibam. So Resh Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, so what's the problem? And we could say the pshat is Memanavshach. Why can't the Tzor get married right away? Memanavshach. If it turns out to be a viable child, then it comes out that there was no mitzvah of Yibam, and therefore she certainly, the Tzor is allowed to get married to the Shuk. And even if it turns out to be that there is no viable child, and there was a mitzvah of Yibam, but you, Rabbi Yochanan, are of the opinion that Bias Muberes Shma Bia, that it does count as a good Yibam. So retroactively, a Maisa Yibam was done, and that frees the Tzora from any problem with Yivam Lashuk. So Memanashach, during the time of Suffolk, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why can't the Tzora get married? As a result of this question, Abaya backtracked. And he said, Einachanami, we cannot say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that both Bia and Chalitza of Muberes are effective. Only Chalitza's Muberes is effective. Bia is not effective, as you just proved from this brisa that you brought. A very strong proof. Because if it was effective, then Memanavshach, the Tzora, should be able to marry Lashuk. The bottom Tosfos, as we mentioned yesterday, explains the difference between Bia and Chalitza. Because Bia, you're involved in a potential erva. Chalitza, you're not involved in any isser that might be done. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion, according to Abaya, that Bia, Smuberes, where you might get involved in an isser if it turns out that there will be a Ben Kayama, a viable child, and there was no mitzvah of Yibam. So then, Enechami de Torah did not want you to make Yibam at that time. However, Chalitza, where you won't come to an Avera, the Chalitza Muberes, Shema Chalitza, and when it turns out later that the child was not viable, a new Chalitza will not be required. That is what Rabbi Yochanan wanted to answer according to Abaya. Rava did not like this answer. Rish Lakish, of course, will hold there's no chilek between Biya or Chalitza, and it does not work on a Muberes. Rava did not like this Teretz of Abaya, as the Gemara started out here on the top of Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, because Kol Oyle L'Yibim Oyle L'Chalitza, Kol She'en Oyle L'Yibim Ein Oyle L'Chalitza. If Yibim of a Muberes is not a good Yibim, then it's not an effective Chalitza either. If Yibim is a good Yibim, then the Chalitza should be good. You can't split them up. And therefore, Rava did not like Abaya's pshat in Rabbi Yochanan. Now we begin today's Gemara. Elo Amar Rava, I will tell you the answer on Rabbi Yochanan from that Braisa. Hachi Kamar. This is what the Braisa meant to say. Hakoines Yivimtoi, Vinimtsas Muberes, Harezu Loitinasitz Harasa, Itzora should not marry if the Yivama was found to be a Muberes. Why? Shema Yehev Lad Ben Kayama. If you remember, we just mentioned earlier that the Gemara originally had the Girsa and the Braisa that it would be a Ben Kayama. The Gemara says that doesn't make sense. If it's a Ben Kayama, what are you telling me? She shouldn't marry because it might be a Ben Kayama. If it's a Ben Kayama, she is allowed to marry because there's no mitzvah of Yibam. There's no Isser of Yivam Lushuk. So the Gemara changed it that maybe it will not be a Ben Kayama. Now Rav is saying, no, we go back to square one. We're going to have the original Girsa. That what? Shema Yehei Vlad Ben Kayama. So what's the problem? The problem is as follows. Because Bias Muberes Loishma Bia. V'chalitzas Muberes Loishma Chalitza. Now wait a second. These words should jump up at us. Why? We're going in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Shid, and Rav is the one who says you can't split Yibam or Chalitza. So according to Rav himself, Rabbi Yochanan holds, not like Rish Lakish, that it is a good Yibam. It is a good Chalitza. What's he saying in the Rabbi Yochanan now it's not good? So Rashi explains, yeah. Rabbi Yochanan, what's the case Rabbi Yochanan's talking about? Rabbi Yochanan's talking about where he did Yibam or Chalitza on a Muberes, but then it turns out later that it was a Nafel. The child wasn't viable. So then Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Yivmor, the Chalitza of a Muberes, retroactively is effective. Because retroactively it comes out there was a mitzvah of Yibam, even though at the time you had a suffix. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rish Lakish and he says that if you did it Lamaisa, it is effective because it turned out that there was no child, there was a Nefa. But what's our case over here? Here we want to permit the Tzora to marry Lashuk at the time when her fellow Tzara is Muberes. We don't know what the results are going to be. We can't, there's no Eliyo Anavi to tell us right now, Lamaisa, that you're not going to have, Benavua Eliyo would tell us, you're not going to have a viable child. So therefore, it's possible you will have a viable child. If you are going to have a viable child, then there was no mitzvah of Yibam. And therefore, it's an issur for you to get married at this moment. So that's what the Gemara means here. We have to assume most women who are pregnant, Baruch Hashem, have healthy children. That they're going to have a Vlad Kayama. That's what we have to go with. Therefore, at this moment, says Rabbi Yochanan, I agree with Rish Lakish, right at the moment that the woman is still pregnant and we don't know what's going to happen, we have to assume it's going to be a viable child. And right now, Bias Muberes, Loishma Bia, V'chalitzas Muberes, Loishma Chalitza. I can't assume now it's not going to be viable. I have to assume it is viable. When did I say Rabbi Yochanan Bias Muberes Shma Bia? That's later when there was a Nafel. And retroactively, there was a mitzvah of Yibam, so the Yibam you made was effective. But right now, if you're going to ask me, should I go ahead and marry Lashuk? I will tell you that you cannot be Soymach. You cannot be Soymach on the Bia that was done with the Muberes, or the Chalitza that was done with the Muberes. What do you have to think? You have to think maybe there'll be a viable child. So you said to me, if there's a viable child, so again, there's no mitzvah of Yibam. So why can't I go Lashuk? The Teretz is, V'havlad eina poiter at sheyetze la'avira oilam. If you're going because of the child, you have to wait till there's a viable child. Till she actually gives, this is the Chiddush. The Gemara before thought, Mamanavshach. She can get married Lashuk Mamanavshach. Either there's going to be a viable child, there was no mitzvah of Yibam, or there's not going to be a viable child, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, a bia of Muberes Shma bia. The Gemara says, your Meman of Shach is not a Meman of Shach, because we have to assume there's going to be a viable child. And on the side of the assumption that there is a viable child, you're not allowed to make a Yibam or a Chalitza at this time, because there's no mitzvah of Yibam. What do you have to count on? There'll be a viable child, but you can only rely on that once you see that there's a viable child. That's why you have to wait until she will give birth. That's how Rava explains the Braisa according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara says, in fact, Tanya Kavasei de Rava, we learned like Rava. His pshat is very good. It says in a Braisa, HaKoinis Yivimtoi V'nimtas Muberes HaReizu Loiti Nasi Tzarasa. The Tzora cannot get married until the end of the other wife's pregnancy. Why? Shema Yehei Vlad Ben Kayama. We have to assume that the child will be viable. Ve'ein Biyav Chalitza Poiteres. And now we're not going anymore with Yibam or Chalitza, because if it's a viable child, there is no mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza. Even Rabbi Yochanan will agree. And what are you depending on? Ela Vlad Poiter. You're depending on the child. Vlad ain't a Poitra. Achietz Lavar Oilam. If you're going because of the Vlad doesn't Poiter until the woman actually gives birth. Now the Gemara says, if so, I'm going to switch the tables. You, before Rish Lakish, asked the kasha on me, Rabbi Yochanan. Now that we hammered out the pshat and the braisa, I, Rabbi Yochanan, have a kasha on you, Rish Lakish. Why? Taima de Shema Yevla ben Kayamu. The whole reason that Tzora can't get married is because at the time of this suffek, maybe the woman will give birth to a viable child, and there'll be no mitzvah yim, and you have to wait till the child gets born. Ho loy havi Vlad ben Kayama. What happens if it turns out that the child is not a Ben Kayama, Mifter Tzarasa, then the Tzar, let's say Chalitza had been done, the Tzar would be Potter. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan says, I am now going to deduce like my pshat. Because you're telling me the whole problem with the woman getting married is because it might turn out to be a viable child and you have to wait till the viable child is born. It would seem that let's say, for example, Chalitza was made, and later it turns out there is no viable child, that's not a problem. Then that was effective. She can get married based on that Chalitza. You don't have to do it over. So it's a question for Keret. Lema Tevet, you have to do Rish Lakish. Now I can say it's a question on Rish Lakish. Amalek Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish will answer. Hachik Tani. This is how I learned Pshat in the Braisa. I go back to the change in the girsa. I say not that we're worried you will have an effective, a viable child. I say we're worried you will not have a viable child. Why? Shema lo yehei havlad ben kayama. Which is how we tried to change it in yesterday's shir. Maybe the child will not be a ben kayama. If we're going now that the child's not a Ben Kayama, so what could you rely on? The Chalitza that would be done while she's a Muberes. No. The Chalitza's Muberes, Loishma Chalitza. Ubias Muberes, Loishma Bia. Not like Rabbi Yochanan learned that if it's a Bia on a viable, when a viable child's involved, or a Chalitza when a viable child's involved, then it's not effective. No. I'm learning, we're Choshish, there won't be a viable child. And then the whole way that she could be Mutter Lashuk is if you come on to Chalitza, but I hold Rish Lakish, and that's what the Bryce is saying, according to my Pshat, that a Bia or a Chalitza of a Muberes is not an effective Bia or Chalitza, because at the time that you did it, you didn't know, you were mesupik, whether you're actually doing a correct yibum or chalitza or not. Now, what's the meaning of the end of the braisa, according to Rish Lakish's pshat, v'havlad eina poitra chiyetz laver oilam? You just told me we're thinking now on the lines that there won't be a viable child. So what does the braisa mean? It means like this, v'im timer, if you will say to me, hey, lechacha roiv nashim, why can't this tzara say, I want to depend on the majority? V'roiv nashim and the majority of women, v'lad ma'al yoldon, why are you putting me into a corner that we have to assume it's not a viable child? I want to go after Roiv, and Roiv says that it will be a viable child. Ah, if you're going with that direction, v'lad ain't a poitra chi eitzel avro oilom. If you're going because it won't be a viable child, the chalitza or yibum that you do now is not effective. And if you go with the tour of vlad, vlad is any yitzah until it comes to the avir oilam. So this is how Rish Lakish understands it according to his pshat. Amar Rab Lazar, says Rab Lazar. Rab Lazar was of the opinion, as the Gemara at the end of this Amar is going to come out, that the halach in this machlokis is like Rish Lakish. Amar Rab Lazar, efshir isa lahadir Rish Lakish. Is it possible that we hold like Rish Lakish? That what? That Biya and Chalitza v'muberes, even if it turns out that there was a nafal, and retroactively, there was Yibum, but the Bior Chalitza at the time of Suffolk is not considered effective. And the brothers will have to make a new Chalitza. Is it possible we paskin like this, v'loitznan lobe masnisin, and we don't find it anywhere written in a Mishnah? It must be we should be able to find it in a Mishnah. Nafak, he went out, duck, he investigated, v'ashkach, and he found a proof to Rish Lakish from a Mishnah. The Snan, we learned in a Mishnah, ha'isha shahalach ba'ala v'tzarasa l'mdina tiyam. A woman, a wife, whose husband went with her co-wife to a far-off country, ubo v'amro la meis ba'alach, and after much time, as Rashi in Divrei HaMaskil Bishlam at the end of the Rashi says, the Acher's man meruba shaholach balal umdina sayam kamairi. It's speaking about that this happened, let's say, a couple of years after her husband went to the Medina Sayam. Why is this significant? Because it means she knows she's not pregnant we're discussing here the mitzvah of Yibum. Her husband died. The Shaila is she going li Yibum? She herself is not pregnant because her husband's been away for a long time. Rashi tells us that if she knows that the tzara is not pregnant, she would be able to do yibum. Maybe her husband married someone else, b'medina sayam, and has children from that someone else, that we're not choshish for. Rashi doesn't say why. Perhaps the reason is, I was thinking, because in tomorrow's shir, on daf lamed zayin amid beis, we have Amar Rab Lazar ben Yaakov, lo yisa adam isha b'mdina zu v'yelech v'yisa isha b'mdina acheres, shema yizdav guzel azeh v'nimtza ach noisei es achoisei. That there's an aveira, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's not negeya b'zman azeh, where we have instant telecommunications and the whole world is connected. But in the olden times where there were not even letters written from one place to the other, so if a man would go from one country to another and marry a woman in another country, the two families wouldn't know of each other, and it could come out that a brother would marry a sister. So there was an injunction by the Chachamim against a person doing such a thing. The only exception is if it's a child of a gadol, because he's always called after his father who's a gadol, and that news will get around, and they will not be mishadach, a brother and a sister. But normally, in those times where there was not even mail between countries, it was an isser. So memela, we're not choishish that this husband, he held out, he did the halacha. We have to assume that he didn't take another wife from Medina Sayyam. But we're left with one woman, we have a shayla. Not the woman who's here, not any Mrs. X, but the tzora, perhaps that tzora is mu'uberes, says the Mishnah. Ha'ish yishalach ba'al v'tzoras l'medina sayam. Ubo v'amru l'meis ba'al. Your husband died, and now it's a question, maybe that she should go li'yibum to the brother. Ha'rei zu lo'itinasei. She should not get married. And Rashi says that the Gemara understands this to mean, don't do chalitza and get married l'shuk. And don't do yibum. Ad shetayda, until you know. And it might take years for you to know, to find this out. What do you have to find out? Shem and Muberes, itzarasa. Maybe the tzara who's with the husband in the Bedin Sayyam is expecting a child. Maybe right before he died, she became pregnant, then her husband died, and she's carrying the future child, and that will affect, of course, the question of yibum. So now, the Gemara says, Rab Lazar says, let's analyze this. Bishloima yevumi loy. I understand why the woman who's here now, and her hears from Adam that her husband died, shouldn't do yibum, because shema yehi vlad ben kayama. Maybe the other co-wife has a viable child, v'yifka b'isra eshes achdaraisa. Now, by the way, here's a right over here, we have this point, and we're going to have it a few times in the Gemara. When we speak about chalitzas muberes, or yibum of a muberes, that according to Rish Lakish, let's say it's not effective, it doesn't just mean the yibum is done to the muberes, or the chalitz is done to the muberes. It's even if the yibum is done not to the muberes. Because that's also called chalitz or yibum of a muberes. Why? Because if there is a muberes, if the brother had a wife who's muberes, then the same issue of chalitz or yibum, even to the non-muberes wife, it's the same thing. So here's an example. Here, what's the chashash? We just spoke out. The woman who's here knows she's not pregnant. Who is the one who's possibly pregnant? The tsar who's with her husband in the Medina Sayyam. But that's called, if you do chalitz or yibim on the woman who's here, that's chalitz or yibim muberes. Why? Because there may be some muberes of her husband who might have a viable child. And what's going to be if he has a viable child? There'll be no mitzvah of yibim. And if there's no mitzvah of yibim, it'll be yifka be'isr eishes ach d'oraisa. So we understand why we tell the tsara. That we spoke out before. Rabbi Yochanan is maskim to Rish Lakish that at the time of the suffix, you can't tell the person to do yibum. He's going to be doing an isser. It's only later when it turns out there's a nafil, there's no viable child. I could say retroactively, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the yibum should help. But the shas maisa, Bezdin can't tell him, go do yibum. Maybe you're involved in an aver of isser eishazach. Elo loitachlitz amai, but why can't you do chalitza? So he says like this: Bish loy matachlitz betoich tes v'tinas betoich tes loy. I found out the husband was nifter. Maybe the tsore Medina Sayam became pregnant right before the husband was nifter. So during the next 9 months, I can't do chalitza or get married based on that chalitza. Why? Hainu suffik. Because that's our very suffix. Maybe the tsar in the Medina Siyam has a vlad kayama. And a vlad, as we learned in this stuff, doesn't pater until when? Until after the vlad is born. Chalitza doesn't help if there's a vlad kayama. If we're dealing with vlad kayama, even Rabbi Yochanan holds chalitza doesn't help. It's only if it's a nafil retroactively, maybe the chalitza or yibum would help. But not b'shas maisa. So we understand why you don't do yibum. And we understand why you don't do chalitza within the 9 months, because we have to let it play out. And if there's a child, then after 9 months, she'll be mutter to tzara to go to yibum. Ella to get married based on the child that was born, right? Ella tachloitz. My question is tachloitz betoich tisha v'tinas elacha tisha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the chalitza smubera shmo chalitza. So I have a very partial answer. Let the brother who's here give chalitza to this wife. And she should wait to get married based on that chalitza until after 9 months. But after 9 months, b'manavshach, either there's a live child and there was no yibum to begin with, or there's no live, and you have to wait till the child's born, he was already born, it's after 9 months, or there was no child and you need a chalitza, and Rabbi Yochanan, chalitza muberes is good. So why isn't that a good eitz? Elamai, Rabbi Lazar says, a proof to Resh Lakish that chalitza muberes is not good. That's why you can't do it. Afraid the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says back, or the Gemara answers on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan, Ulatameich, according to your Resh Lakish, you think everything's good? No. Tachloitz v'tinas l'achrites. Good. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says she has to wait till she finds out whether the tsara was pregnant or not, whether she had a viable child or not. She, in those days, with no communication, it might take her years and years to find that out. According to Rish Lakish, also, good. Chalitz is muberes, no good. So wait 9 months, where definitely the tsara Medina Siyam is no longer pregnant. So she either gave birth to a child, or, and there's no mitzvah of yibum, and then the tsara can go to marry Lashuk, or make chalitza then, where even according to Rish Lakish, then for sure it's going to be a good chalitza. So why do we say she has to know that the woman gave birth? Ella, it's not good according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not good according to Rish Lakish. Here is a new thing. Bar minadahi, except for that mission over there. Why? Da baya bar abba, Rab Chanina bar abaya, damri tavayu, shema yevlad ben kayama. we don't give the tzara an eitzah of giving her chalitza in the 9 months, even if it's effective according to Rabbi Yochanan, after the 9 months, according to Rish Lakish, chalitza is off the table. Why? Because maybe, in fact, she gave birth to a viable child in Medina Seyam. V'nimtza atom atzricha churz lekona. You now went through the motion of giving chalitza because you want to cover all bases, but now suddenly you're going to get a messenger, an aide will come and say she has a bar mitzvah boy in Medina Sayam, and there was no mitzvah even to get altogether. So now it comes out the chalitza that we made was for naught. We have to now make a kol korah from the Besdin, a churuz. We have to call out that this woman is really not a chalitz and she's mutter l'kohuna. So do that. What's the problem? No. Maybe somebody was at the chalitza, but he never heard the achraza. And what will he see later that this woman who has chalitza, he's going to say, oh, look, the chachamim permitted a chalitza to marry to a kohen. So that's why we tell this woman who's stranded here, and she doesn't know about her the co-wife of Medina Siyam, what the situation is, don't get married, or have chalitza until you find out, because otherwise it might come out, you'll have chalitza, and it'll be chalitza for naught, and we're going to have to make a churuz that the chalitza is not really a viable chalitza, and she's really mutter to her kohen. We don't want to get involved in that, so therefore we don't do chalitza. But let's say you had done chalitza, the chalitza would be effective, even though it was chalitza muberes, says Rabbi Yochanan. So memela the raya, the Rabbi Lazar says, I gotta find a Mishnah like Rish Lakish, we slug up the raya. Armalei Abaya, and Abaya has another way of disproving this raya that Rabbi Lazar wanted to bring from that Mishnah. Midi loy sachlitz loy tisyabim tani, you are making a fundamental mistake, says Abaya. It doesn't say in that Mishnah she shouldn't get chalitza or yivim. It says she shouldn't get married and she shouldn't get married to somebody else and she shouldn't do yibum to the brother. You interpreted loitinas to mean she shouldn't get married after chalitz is made to her. No! It means she shouldn't get married, as Rashi says, veloitis yabim ktani says the Gemara beloi chalitza. She shouldn't say, oh, if my husband went with the Tzor al-Medina Sayyam, and the woman was of childbearing age, min astam, roiv women have children for their husbands. They have children. So I can assume that she had a child, and based on that, I can get married l'shuk. No! Loitinase beloi chalitza, aval I chalitzwa. But ain't a chanami, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if chalitza was done, hachanami de sharia, it would be permitted. Loitinase doesn't mean with chalitza, loitinase means without chalitza. But you'll do chalitza, Rabbi Yochanan would hold, it's talking good. So it is another way of slugging up the raya from that Mishnah to Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan can live with that Mishnah, no problem. However, the Gemara says, Tanya Kavah say to Rish Lakish, we in fact learned a brisa like Rish Lakish, which says, Beferish, Hachoyelitz l'muberes, if somebody did chalitza to muberes, v'pilo, and she had a nafel, Tzricha chalitza mina achin. Why? She needs chalitza from the brothers, because chalitza s'muberes, loishma chalitza, this is an open, shut case brisa that proves that Rish Lakish is right. And based on this, the Gemara says next, Amarava Hilchasa Kavasei to Rish Lakish, Bahani Tlas. The halach is like Rish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan, even though normally the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan against Rish Lakish. In three cases, there is an exception to the rule, and the halach is like Rish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. Chodah Haramorn. One is in the sugya of our Gemara, Chalitzas Muberes, that according to Rish Lakish, the halach is Loishma Chalitz. You have to do Chalitza over again. Idich, the second case, this now we learned in a Mishnah. Hamachalik nechazav al piv. We know that if someone leaves over a Yerusha to his children, the Bechor gets double, and all the other sons get single portions. But if he wants to beat the system legally, he can give a matana while he's still alive, and while he's still alive, he can give as much as he wants to one son, more than the other. So if, while he was alive, he gave riba lechad, he gave a lot to one, miyat lechad, he gave a little to another, vehishlam is a bechor, and the bechor says, you get equal to everybody else. Devorv kayamet, then his words they remain intact. Why? He's allowed to give a present to whoever he wants. and in whatever way he wants. Ve'im amar mishum Yerusha, but if he says, I'm doing this as an inheritance, lo yamar klum, then he said nothing, as Rashi says, because he's masna, masha kasav b'Torah. The Torah says there's a special way how you give chalukah, the bechor gets double. So you can't give everybody equally. Now, but what happens if kasav ben betchila? If in the beginning of his a shtar that he's giving, he says, I'm giving it as a matana, even though he said afterward the word Yerusha. Bein besoif, or he put the word matana at the end. The beginning was Yerusha, the end was matana. Bein beemtza, mishum matana. Or he put Yerusha, matana, Yerusha. Dvarv kayamin. His words are accepted. Why? Because we say that he meant to give it as a matana, and he's not being masna, he's not making a condition against the words of the Torah, and it is valid and legal. As we turn to the Flamed Vav on the base, the Yomer Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish said concerning this, what happens if to one son in his star he wrote Matana, and to the other son he wrote Yerusha? So Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that since he wrote it to one but Matana, we say he meant to everybody. Matana, it's valid. Rish Lakish says no. It's only valid if he put the word Matana concerning every son, and he has to do it in a special way. V'amar Rish Lakish, lo'olam lo'ikana atshiyomer, ployni u'ployni, yirshu sada ployinus u'ployinus, shenasatim lohem b'matana, v'yirshum. The Rashbam of Bava Basra explains why Rish Lakish requires this method of Yerusha Matana Yerusha. But whatever the reason is, if he at least put in the middle the word Matana, and the word Matana was going on all the sons, not just one son, that's when Rish Lakish says it's valid. Otherwise, to the son that he wrote Matana, it's valid. And to the son that he wrote Yerusha, it's not valid. And we paskin in this instance like Rish Lakish. The Idduch, the third case where we paskin like Rish Lakish, it's not. We learned in the Mishnah, HaKoysev kol nechasav l'bnoi lacham oitzoi, if somebody wrote all his possessions to his son after his death. In other words, I'm going to eat the peiros, but the guf I am giving to my son after his death, ha'av eini yochol limchom of nation asal ben. So both the father and the son cannot sell this ground with the peiros to a lokeach. Why? The father can't sell it forever because he promised it to his son. He gave it to his son. The son can't sell to Lekech that he should eat the fruits right now because the fruits are in the possession of the father. The only way, says the Rashbam and Bava Basra, it could work is if both the father who owns the peiros and the son who owns the guf, they sell it together jointly at one time, then it'll work. What happens if Machar Av, the father sold his part in the deal? So he could sell the fruits, because that he still maintains, and the lokeach can eat the fruits until the father dies. The moment the father dies, then everything goes over to the son. Machar ben, what happens if the son sold it? So the lokeach has no fruit, because until the father dies, it belongs to the father. Once the father dies, then he has the whole field with the guf and the peiros. V'yitmer, we learned on this, mochar ben b'chayo av, what happens if the son sold it in the lifetime of the father? Umeis ben b'chayo av, and the father outlived the son died while the father was still alive. Is the mechira of the son to the loikeach effective or not? Rabbi Yochanan amar loy kona loikeach. Rabbi Yochanan says the loikeach is not kona, and we'll soon see why. Rish Lakish amar kona loikeach. Rabbi Shlakish says the loikeach is kona. What's the reason? Rabbi Yochanan amar loy kona loikeach, because kinyan peiros kinyan guftami. What does the father have in this? He has a kinyan peiros, the fruits. But we consider fruits, which is the main purpose of the karka, as if he has a kinyan in the karka itself. So therefore, when can if the father dies first, so then the son received through Yerusha the land from his father, then he can give it over now to the Lekeach. But if the son dies first, and what did the father have in this karka peiros? And we consider peiros as if he has the guf, so then the son never got it from the father. If the father has the guf and the father outlived the son, the first guy can sell the second guy whatever he has a hand in. The son here never got the, really the whole field because he died before the father. Memela his mechira to lekeach is not effective. However, the lekeach is kind of, why? Because kinyan paris love kinyan aguf dami. Because the father's paris are only paris. The guf belongs to the son. He has the authority to give that over to Lekeach. The Lekeach now stands in the place of the son. So Einachanami, the Lekeach cannot eat fruit, because that still belongs to the father. But as soon as the father dies, now the Lekeach has the guf, and he gets the peris as well. And this is the third halacha where we paskin like Rish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan, because kinyan peris, lav kikinyan aguf dami. The Mishnah said that if somebody did yibum on this muberis, and it turns out that the vlad was not shel kayama, the din is, it says in the Mishnah, yikayim, he's allowed to keep her as his wife. And if you remember in yesterday's shir, and this is an important Rashi, it's going to be again in a moment, that Rish Lakish, who we paskin like, held that the pshat is, even though the bia that he had done while she was a muberis was not effective as yibum, he's going to have to do the yibum again. What does Yikayim mean? Yikayim means, Rashi learned, he has no options except one, Yikayim. He has to make bia, meaning, could he give her a get now? No, impossible. You're not married to her. You didn't do the full yibum. You did it when she was muberes. Rish Lakish says, yibum of a muberes, we paskin, loishma yibum is loishma bia. So she's not your total wife. She's not your total wife. Get is not effective. What about chalitza? Rashi says you can't do chalitza either. Why? And we learned the Mephorshim explain, because if you do chalitza, you're indicating that you haven't done yibum until now. So how were you living with her? You were living with her with outside the context. You were living with her biznus. So apparently you were living somewhat of a yibm. It wasn't a finished yibm. It was a quasi yibm. But it wasn't, you can't say it was nothing. It was within the framework of yibm. So you have to complete the yibm. So your only eitzah is yikayim, which means you have to do a second yibm, a second bia. Tana Mishum Rav Lezer, Amru, they said, Amru Yaitzi beget, he has to give her a get as a knas. Rabbi Lazar argues, says Rashi on the end of our Mishnah. The end of our Mishnah says Yikayim. Rabbi Lazar says no, that you have to give a get by Rashi. But why as a knas? What's the knas? You entered into a relationship with a woman where it's a possible tsaris, a possible erva. She's pregnant. Maybe she'll have a viable child. There was no mitzvah of yibum, and you were over in avera. So therefore, the rabbanan constant you with a, that you have to divorce your wife, not yikayim. Divorce your wife. Rashi concludes with the words, "Umiyu beget beloy chalitza sagi." Get without chalitza is good enough. Says the Marsha, Rashi must be talking according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan holds yibum bia avam uber shma bia. Then it is your wife. If it is your wife, all you need is a get. But according to the way we passed according to Rish Lakish, that bias muberes loishma bia, you didn't do a full yibum, so there's still a zika, so you can't get rid of a zika just with a get, says the Marsha, then you'll need a get with chalitza. If you look in the Tosfos Yeshanim, here, the second one, divrei maskil yaitzi beget, pirush hakuntres, on the right side, the kansinale, avachalitza loitzach, v'teima, do'apaskin alach k'rish lakish, do'amr b'biyah muberes loish m'biyah, v'imkem gam chalitza tzarech, sh'abiyah loy patra, do'loy ha'ilu shum dover. The biyah didn't help anything till now, so you're gonna need chalitza also. L'chein nirli yaitza beget v'chalitza imoy. First pshad netayisham disagrees with Rashi. According to Rish Lakish, you need both. But then he says a second pshad, v'oid yesh loimer, yaitza beget acher biyah rishoina. What's he saying? He's saying, because the way we learned in yesterday's sugya, what is yikayim, as I just mentioned from Rashi, on daf lamid, hey, amid beis, that you have no other option except one. You cannot do just the get because she's not totally your wife. You cannot do chalitza because then it looks like you were living with her outside of the framework of yibum. So the only thing we allow you to do is yikayim. You must do yibum. You must do another bia, says the Rab Lazar. As soon as you do that other bia, and now she is your total wife, Once you've made the other bia, now you must divorce her. So according to Rabbi Elazar, you have to do two things. Yekayem, make the bia, finish off the yibum, and then knas, you have to give her a get. That's how the Tosha Shonim learns. Continues the Gemara, Amr Rava, says Rava, Rameh of Rabbi Elazar, Amr Dover Echa. They both pasuk in the same way, that there are times where the Rabban and cancel a person and give him a penalty that he has to divorce his wife. Rabbi Elazar, what we said just now concerning someone who had relationship with a woman who was a suffix, maybe she has yibum, maybe she doesn't have yibum, maybe she's an erva. So there, he has to divorce her eventually. Rab Meir, this Sanya, we learned in a Bryce as follows. Lo Yisa Adamu Beres Chaverim, and that is Chaver. A person is not allowed to marry his friend's wife who he divorced or he died and she is pregnant or she is nursing. And the Chachamim said you have to wait 24 months because if she will become she'll give birth to a child, in the case of Muberes, and then she'll become pregnant again, it will affect her feeding her baby. Her milk supply will be affected, and perhaps she will not be able to nurse her child, and the child will die. It's a sakana, so you have to wait 24 months. What happens if you married the imnasa yaitzi, which the Gemara is going to explain, means, yaitzi means you have to give her a get. V'loyachzer olam esdivrei Rab Meir. You can never take her back. She is forever divorced. So Rab Elazar in our Mishnah also said that. There's a knas. The knas is not a temporary thing. You have to divorce her forever. You can never marry her again. The Chacham disagree by the case of Muberes Chaverim and Ex Chaverim. Yoitzi, which means give her a get, but it's only a temporary get. What does that mean? Ulikshayagiyaz manay lichnais yichnais. The get is only to prevent you from having further relations with her until the 24-month period will be over. There's no more sakana to the vlad. Then, according to the Chacham, you can remarry your ex-wife. Amalei Abai, Amimai, how could you compare Rab Meir and Rab Elazar together? Dil Maloi, maybe it's no comparison. Ad kan lekomer Rab Elazar, Hacha, in our Mishnah, concerning our Mishnah of the possible aver of Eishas Ach, Elamishum de Kapoga, Beisr Eishas Ach, de Raisa. Here were the Chashi, you went ahead brazenly, and you took this woman who's a Suffolk Erva. So the Chachamim said, Knas, divorce her. Aval Hasam, the Rabbanan. But over there, what are you dealing with? You're dealing with an injunction by the Chachamim because of a potential sakana not to marry Menekes or Muberes Chaveri up till 24 months. That's a din de Rabbanan. Maybe the Rabbanan, maybe Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah would hold like the Chachamim. Abel Hasim de Rabbanan, ki Rabbanan Tzirulei. He wouldn't agree with the Rabbi Meir. And you could take her back after the 24 months is over. Inami or the opposite way. Ad kan lekomer Rab Meir Hasam. When did Rab Meir say that what? That you have to divorce her forever by the Menekes and Muberes El Mishum de Rabbanan. Just the opposite. Because it's the Rabbanan. And people are makel, as Rashi explains by the Rabbanan. The Chachamim also chizik l'divrim, yais mishal Torah. The Chachamim strengthened their words even more than the Torah. They don't want people to say, big deal, it's only the Rabbanan, and I'll do whatever I want. No. If you go against what we told you not to marry the Menekes Chaverai, you're going to have to divorce her. Avol hacha. But over here, midaraisa, mefresh parshi mina. Einichanami, this guy did something wrong. He went ahead and didn't wait until he did the bia, which he should have waited. But overall, the Rabbanan didn't invoke a knas of getting divorced because normally people stay away from a potential issur d'oraisa. So they didn't feel a need to make this knas of divorce. So you really cannot compare Rab Meir and Rab Eliezer one to the other. Amar Rav, according to Chachamim, who say that for 24 months you have to divorce, but then you can take her back. So when it says yaitzia, it means beget. It means with a get. It's not enough just to separate and live elsewhere. You have to mamish give her a get. Amar Marzutra, deikinami, I'll bring you a proof. Diktani yaitzi, veloiktani yafresh. It doesn't say in the Chachamim you should separate. It says you have to take her out, which means that you have to get divorced. Shmami, no, this is a proof. And actually, the Masar Shishah says it should say Hasam Tanya. We learned over there in a Brisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Kol Shishah Bottom Lamed Yom, Ein Nefel. What happens if a woman, her husband died without children? except there was one child born, but this child didn't last for 30 days. So if the Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if the child lasted for 30 days, not a nafel, holoi shoa, but if it did not last for 30 days, svei kahavi, then it's a suffix. And if it's a suffix, then you shouldn't do yibum. Why? Because maybe it's considered a viable child, and there was no mitzvah of yibum. The itmor we learned, meis betoich lamed yom. What happens if the child died within 30 days? So it's a suffix. The undov and iskatcher, and she went and she married Lashuk. Here we're talking about the iser of Lashuk. Why? Because she said, oh, it's probably a viable child, and it's a viable child, I can get married Lashuk. What do we do now? Ravina Mishmei de Rav Amar, im eishis Yisrael hi choletzes. If her husband is a what? Yisrael. So if we tell her, you know what? You had a suffix, whether you were chayv and yibim or not. Do chalitza. Let the brother do chalitza. Is anything going to happen to the marriage with her husband who's a Yisrael? The answer is no. A Yisrael is mutter to a chalitza. But im eishis kayin hi, if she's married to a kayin. And now you tell her she must have chalitza. Eina chalitza. You don't tell her to be chalitza, to have chalitza. You're so mad that the child is not is considered viable. And therefore, she's mutter l'shuk. Even though it didn't last for 30 days. Rav Mishar, Shemeshmei, the Rav Omer, achazu chalatzes. No, there's no difference, Yisrael or a Kayan. Even though it'll affect the Kayan, he's going to have to divorce her. Doesn't matter, because he's also in a chalutza. Doesn't matter. She must undergo, in this suffix situation, chalitza. Amar le Ravina le Rav Mishar, so Ravina said to Rav Mishar, as we turn to Daf Lamed Zayin, Amar Aleph, but or to Amar Rav Hachi. You're right. At night, Rav said like you, that it doesn't matter. And if you notice, both of them were quoting Rava. Ravina was saying in the name of Rava, and Rav Misharsha was saying in the name of Rava. So Ravina said to Rav Misharsha, you're right. At night, Taka said like you, that both an Ashes Yisrael and an Ashes Kayan have to get chalitza. And it doesn't matter that an Ashes Kayan will no longer be able to stay with her husband. But we're to Amar Rav Hachi, but Ubitzafra in the morning, Hadar Bey, Yat Charata, and that's when I heard it in the morning, and then he came to the conclusion that we're makel for the Kayin. Since it's a suffix, we can take on that it's a viable child, and there was no Isser of Yavama Lashuk, because there was no mitzvah of Yibim here. Amar Lei, Sharitu. So he said back to Ravina, Rav Misharsha said to Ravina, you permitted her not to have chalitza? Yea, Rava may be the will of Hashem, this tishtru aftarba, that you should be matar even chalev. If you're being makel on that, the next step is you're going to say the chazer, that chalev is prohibited. Now the Gemara has a question, hacha gabi muberes chaveru, menekes chaveroi, hanesua lekoyen mai. We see from Ravina that there was a dispensation made, an exception was made for the Eishes Kayin, in this case, that she doesn't have to go through Chalitza or else she'll have to get separated from her husband. What about the halacha that we learned before, Gabi Muberes Chaveri, Menekes Chaveri, Hanesua LeKayin? The Kayin married a woman who was pregnant from Chaveroi, or she was nursing a child from a previous husband. And he didn't wait the 24 months. So the din normally is, we learned, that you have to give a get, a knas, midrabbanan. But what about if the husband's of a kohen? Do we have an exemption for a kohen? Do we care about that we're going to be breaking up the marriage of a kohen or not? My, what's the din here? Me, Ovid, Rabbanan, Takanta, Lekayin, I lie. Did they do a Takana? In other words, maybe over here the Rabbanan didn't insist on a get. Maybe if he says, listen, I'll separate myself and I won't have any relations with my wife, but I don't want to get divorced or else I won't be able to take her back. What's the din? Amalei, how could you compare one din to the other? Even though Ravina said by the case over there with the suffix 30-day child, that less than 30 days is a suffix, whether it's considered viable or not, Hachi Ashta Bishlam Hasam Kivan Deka Rabbanan De Pligio Leder Rav Shimon Gamliel Da Amri Afal Gav De Loisha Vlad Ma'al Yavi. That's a machloikis over there. We said the Shita Rav Shimon Gamliel. Less than 30 days, suffix. The Chachamim Shita is, if there's a stillborn child, then of course it's not a viable child. But the moment a child has life, even if he doesn't live for the whole 30 days, he's considered a viable child. So we don't paskin like the Rabbanu. We paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But Gabi Eishes Kayin, by the wife of a Kayin, Kivin Deloy Efsher, we have no Eitza. If we're going to tell her that she has to go through Chalitza in this case, they're going to have to get this divorced, Avdini Karabonin. So then at least we have a halachic Shita to rely on. We have a Tzad Heter, because the Rabbanan hold it is a viable child. There was no Yibam. There is no Avera of Yavama Lashuk here. So get in a Yisrael where it doesn't matter, he can stay with his wife, we insist on Chalitza. But in a case of a Kayin where it'll affect his marriage, he'll have to get divorced. So there will be Mekel like the Rabbanan and say that it was a viable child and she was Mutter Lashuk and she doesn't need Chalitza. But Aval Hacha, you want to compare it to the case of, you want to compare it to the case of waiting by Menekes Chaveroi and Muberes Chaveroi. You want to say if he didn't wait the 24 months, you want to say that for a Kayin they did not insist on a get. Aval Hacha Keman Navid. Who sheet are we going to go like? Ik Rav Meir Amar Yaitzi. Rav Meir says, "V'lo yachzer alamis." He should divorce her. He can never take her back again. V'Rabbanan ha'amri beget. Even the Rabbanan said you have to give a get. The only thing is, the Rabbanan said after the 24-month period of separation is over, there's no more danger to the child. There's no more danger that she'll become pregnant from her second husband. Then the second husband can take her back. But she's going to be a grusha. So we have no etza. So here you cannot compare it. There we have a halachic sheet to be signed mechan, to be makel for a kayin. Here, both sheet is hold. Either a get forever or a get for 24 months. She's going to be a get. There's no etza. It would appear to me, and with this we will end today's shir, that this bepashtus, we have a raya to a sheet, the sheet of Rishonim, in the first sugya that we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir. There the Gemara discusses, if someone runs away, when he has to be separated from his wife, instead of giving her a get, he runs away. Is that acceptable or not? Let's say in the 3 months of Avchana, where he took her within 3 months and he's supposed to wait between one husband and another 3 months. He didn't wait. So now let's say he's a kayin. Do we force him? Do we give him a get? Do we force him to give his wife a get and then he won't be able to remarry her? So there's a machlokes rishonim. What is the din of a kayin took by our case of muberes chaver menekes chaver, right? Is there an etza for the kayin to run away? Some sheet is hold, let's say in the case of the Havchon of 3 months, that he has to run away to a place that he can't come back to his wife before the 3 months are over. He's going to be going by camel for 3 months. There's no jets in those days. So we know he's safe away someplace where he's not going to be around for 3 months. So the Rush, in fact, says in the sugya there, by 3 months, he says, by a kayin, we're malamdim, I say. We teach the kayin. If you did something wrong, and the Rabbon are going to give you a knus that you're going to have to give a get, I have an answer for you. Run away. And if you run away and you won't be able to make it back within the 3 month period, so now there's no reason to give a get anymore. And you won't have a problem taking your wife back. So the Rishonim have a machlokes. Does that apply by the 24 month prohibition of marrying Muberes Chaver, Menekes Chaver, L'chaira? From our Gemara, it would seem to be that he does not have that Eitzah. Because if he had that Eitzah, why didn't the Gemara say it? The Gemara says we have no Eitzah for a Kayin. Either he has to get it divorced according to Rav Meir forever, or according to the Rabbanan, he has to get divorced for 24 months. But L'chaira has a different Eitzah. He can run away, be separated from his wife, and we don't have to give him a knas of gerushin, that he shouldn't be together with his wife. He'll run away. It appears, bepashtus, from our Gemara, that in this situation, the Rabbanan did not give the Eitzah of running away, and that's why the Gemara says that Ein Echanami, a Kayin, will be stuck if he took Muberes Chaver, Menekes Chaveroi, he will be stuck, that he will have to give a get because of a knas, and Ein Echanami, he will not be able to take her back.